shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
The Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney and Darren Parkin on RSN 927.
Yes, welcome to the Tennis Podcast with myself, Scott Cooney, and Dash and Darren Parkin to join me very, very shortly here on RSN 927. The French Open, can you believe it, just days away. The Roland Garros Grand Slam, and we'll have ad nauseum podcast for you over the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned on rsn.net.au and, of course, all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and much, much more. We're here again thanks to the Middle Hotel in Currumburra. They won the People's Choice Award Best in the State there early in the week, so congratulations to Fish, Elise, and all the crew there at the Middle Currumburra Hotel. Check out the new deck. Absolutely sensational. The Bass Hotel, Dan, Jeff, and all the crew will look after you there. Hearty, warm meals to get you through the winter. And Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East, of course, Dan, Joe and all the crew will look after you there, have a skinny latte and a beautiful brunch after a big night watching the tennis on Channel 9. And speaking of which, Dash and Darren Parkin joins us, thanks to Channel 9. How are you, Dash?
Going very well, mate. Going very well. Yeah, not too far away. We're obviously going to get into the mad swing of back-to-back majors on contrasting surfaces, and then you don't have to wait a ridiculously long time for the US, so it's Grand Slam season.
Yeah, it certainly crept up, the Roland Garros Grand Slam, mate, and we'll look at the men's and women's markets very, very shortly, and probably a little bit more narrow than usual. Obviously, we associate the clay sometimes with being more wide open, particularly in the women's, but it certainly doesn't look to be the case this time around, mate. But what about Kokkinakis? We'll start with him, mate. He's playing well on the Swiss clay, and of course, defeated Delbonis 1-6-7-5-7-5 to back up his impressive 6-4-6-3 win over Fognini the round before in Geneva, Switzerland. And the Cock faces a stiff test. I probably should have said Kokkinakis there against second seed Casper Ruud tonight.
Yeah, and Casper Ruud obviously ranked inside the top 10, had a pretty good year. Obviously, he missed the Australian Open, but did pretty well certainly last year. But yeah, Kokkinakis hasn't played the French Open since 2017, such has been the level of injuries that he's faced. He might reach the third round on his French Open debut, so he has shown some promising, you know, clay court form. That's his best ever result in a major back then as a 20-year-old, I think. So certainly would like his chances of building on his start to the year. He obviously had the double in Adelaide where he reached the semi and then won the title at the next one and missed out early at the Oz Open, but we know he obviously had a very good campaign in the doubles with Nick Kyrgios. So for Tanasi, it's just about continuity and making sure that he gets a full year out there having a crack and making sure that you know, he doesn't have any of those injury setbacks that have plagued him.
We won't be seeing, unfortunately, the Special K duo there because Kyrgios skipping the French Open, Dash, but he did recently declare he's the best grass court player in the world. So obviously he'll be fancying his chances there at the All England Club.
Yeah, and he's not ridiculously far off the mark. He doesn't deserve to have that claim just yet. There's certainly guys like Djokovic and Medvedev, players like that. But, you know, he'd be certainly in the top half a dozen, you would think, on grass in the world. But he's had a great year. Obviously, the Australian Open, he showed some good form, but he nearly beat Nadal in a quarterfinal, I think it was, at Indian Wells or one of those tournaments. He's beaten the likes of Rublev. He's beaten, you know, he's won matches on clay against good players. He's, you know, when he's been out on the court, he's been almost at career best sort of levels. But he's never been particularly keen on the clay court season. He did say something the other day about his missus wants to go to Paris next year, so he's still play it next year. But that's an interesting reason to play the French so she can go shopping in Paris. But it's good enough, I guess. But yeah, he'll come back for Wimbledon, and you always think that. And even last year, he won a couple of matches and then blasted Felix Auger-Aliassime in the first set before getting injured. So, for him, he's always going to be a chance on grass, but it's hard to see him winning seven matches in a row, obviously, with his all-round game at the moment.
We'll delve, Dash, very shortly into the top chances in the men's and women's side of things there for the French Open 2022. Of course, qualifying well and truly underway as well, mate. But Alex de Minaur, too, a man we've spoken about heaps, obviously, is our number one, really, in the men's side of things for quite some time, mate. And he seems to be enjoying the red dirt at the moment. How do you see him faring there at Roland Garros?
Yeah, absolutely. It's clearly the best clay court run he's been on, and certainly his best or most consistent start to a year in a little while. He defeated Umber the other day. He's pushed Carlos Alcaraz like few others have on clay a couple of weeks ago. I think he lost 4-6, 7-6, 5-7 or something of that ilk. So he certainly took it right up to Alcaraz, who's playing as well as anybody on the planet currently. So, yeah, he's for Demonor, I guess if you look at him, it's the breakthrough to the next level. His record against, I was looking at it the other day, his record against players in the top 50 is pretty good. He wins probably 60% of his matches, but if you break that down to the top 10, he's actually never beaten one. I think he's something like 17 or something of that nature. So he's got to find a way to break through against those players. For example, he's 0-8 against Tsitsipas. I think he's 0-5 against Medvedev. So it's really the confidence that he would get out of claiming a scalp like that. But yeah, he's going as well as he has in a while.
Obviously, that loss, albeit tight, affair against Alcaraz, that form reads very well. Goes without saying, Dash, recently, and bodes well, hopefully, for a pretty strong French Open campaign for the Demon, mate. But as I said, we'll chat more about the talk of the town, Alcaraz, Djokovic, Nadal, and plenty more on the men's side of things shortly. And, of course, the women's, headed by Iga Swiatek, well and truly, especially with the absence of Ash Barty, of course, retired with that bombshell a couple of months ago. And look forward to chatting about Iga's wondrous run in just a tick too. Dash and Darren Park and Channel 9's very own, ahead of the French Open, just days away, here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. Just before we chat about some of the women's qualifying as well, mate, Jason Kubler on the men's side of things, a great story. He fought back from match point down. He goes into the final round there of qualifying. The talented junior obviously had a bit of an injury curse for quite a while, but he's very talented and great to see him on the verge, hopefully, of a French Open berth.
Yeah, and he's actually got a game that handles the clay pretty well. It's the only major he hasn't played in. He's qualified for the other three previously, which is strange because, yeah, you could mount a case that he feels or seems to be most comfortable on the dirt. So hopefully he gets that opportunity. It's been a pretty rough run overall for the Aussies in qualifying, losing Vukic overnight. Also players like Madison Inglis a week or so ago. We lost Rodionova, we lost Jamie Foulis, who led, I think, 7-5, 4-1 overnight and got beaten in her match. So, yeah, it was good to get a good story because it'd be pretty tough otherwise.
Unfortunately, to our very own Priscilla Hahn bundled out there in the second round of women's qualifying, but a really positive story. Mendes, Dash, on the women's side of things, kicks on and hopefully can get into the main draw as well.
Yeah, we've only got the three women currently in the main draw in Sharma, Saville and Tomjanovic. If we could snare another one, and she's a very good story, so that would be promising. I think she plays, depending on the time people listen to this, about 6 o'clock tonight, I think. So, we'll see how she fares, but fingers crossed we get another.
Absolutely, and before we delve right into the pointy end of the men's and women's side of things there for the French Open, Dash, could well be in this bracket, actually. Holger Rooney, the Dane teenage sensation. Now, he took a set off the Joker at Flushing Meadows last year, and he's fast becoming a household name in the tennis world, mate, because he surged for a maiden tour title there in April in Munich without dropping a set, and he's continuing his great clay form this week in Lyon. He defeated, I think the other day, Rinnick, which is no slouch, the Frenchman, and then beat another Frenchman last night, albeit not his best surface, Manorino's the clay, but he's really indicative, I think, of his form, Rooney. He was about $1.08 for that match, which looked well unders, but at tab.com.au, he did get the chocolates, I think, 6-4, 6-3. So he's justifying the spruik at the moment, Rooney, the young Dane.
Yeah, and we've seen a few of those, Djokovic being a bit of a litmus test for some of those young players, like Massetti, obviously took a couple of sets off him at the French last year. There were a couple of times at Wimbledon where he dropped sets early. And obviously, Rene, as you mentioned, at the US, I think he lost the first, won the second, and was sort of in the contest a little bit in the third, but fell away in that early match. I know Djokovic lost sets in, I think, nearly every match he played at the US Open en route to the final last year, but that was kind of where it started. So, yeah, he's definitely one to watch, and yeah, we're starting to now see snippets of as I just walked past the construction site, as they are starting to see snippets of that next generation as we look beyond certainly Nadal, Federer, and eventually Djokovic, but we know Alcaraz is leading that charge, but there might be a few others in the mix.
Absolutely, and one that's probably not on the mix for the French Open, I think he said as much the other day, is Medvedev. He'll be looking more at the grass, obviously, with the rules the way they are for the Russians and Belarusians at the moment. He won't be there at the All England Club, but he was off the tour, I think, from a hernia operation for a couple of months. He came back during the week and suffered a shock loss there to Richard Gasquet there in straight sets. So Medvedev, a $34 pop for the French Open at tab.com.au, but he's certainly looking to be finding his feet and might have a bit of a run, but that was probably with the layoff, not as big a surprise as it sounds, but a bit of a shock.
Yeah, he's only won 4 French Open matches in his career, Medvedev, and all of them were last year. He made the quarters last year, but he'd made 4 first-round exits in a row at the French Open prior to that. So, yeah, it goes to show how tough it's been for him at that particular event. So, yeah, he's not quite as flippant about it as, say, Nick Kyrgios is on that surface, but yeah, it's a long way off his best. He calls a spade, he doesn't think he's a chance in that, but yeah, on pure ability, you think that if he takes a court against whoever it may be, he's always half a sniff, but yeah, you'd think that he'll knock over a few early, but then the likes of Tsitsipas, Zverev, Alcaraz, Djokovic, Nadal, they'd all have him, even Rublev, they'd all probably have him covered on that.
A very intriguing men's market there for Roland Garros at tab.com.au/Alcaraz. 275 favourite at tab.com.au. Djokovic just slightly behind at 280. Rafa at $4. Who would have thought that? The King of Clay there. Tsitsipas at $8. A rev at 19s. And Dominic Thiem at $21. He'd probably add a zero to that the way he's played for quite a while, Dash. But is it a race in 2, as silly as that sounds? A race in 3? And who would you have the favourite?
Oh, it's probably a race in 3 with 1 or 2 little half sniffs in there. I think Djokovic would still be favourite based on experience and the best of 5 aspect. I mean, Alcaraz could not have done more. He won 2 titles on hard courts, then won 2 titles on clay. He beat Nadal and Djokovic in the same tournament. He's the first player in 12 years. I think Federer in 2010 was the last player to beat both Djokovic and Nadal in the same tournament. He's only the 11th player in the history of the game to do that, and he's done it as a teenager, and then he topped that off by beating Zverev, who was number 3 in the world, I think, at the time. So he beat 1, 3, and 4 in the world in consecutive matches. His record has been out of this world. It's just then again best of 7, and then best of 7 matches, best of 5 sets. Whether he goes the distance with someone like Djokovic, quite possibly. I think they're certainly the top of the tree. Nadal always has to be respected on clay. He's had some injury issues, certainly. Obviously, he got injured in Indian Wells with the rib, and apparently his practice today was pretty sharp after he was dicey in the loss to Shapovalov the other day as well. Probably the only other one would be, and you're right on Dominic Thiem, a lot of that's probably reflective of his history, having made the final there a couple of times, but he's a fair way off. But Andre Rublev hasn't been a great player in majors generally, probably been a little bit underwhelming, but in the last 2 years, he's beaten Djokovic, Nadal, Tsitsipas, and Thiem on clay. So he's beaten the last 4 French Open finalists on clay in the last 2 years. So that form has to be respected. I don't think he'd be able to do it over a long period of time. But the fact that he can beat those guys to get right to the pointy end on this surface, all in a short space of time, means that he'd have to be, you know, at least half a chance.
Rublev, $41 there at tab.com.au for the French Open 2022. And I think I said with the Hornet, Matty Nevitt, the CEO here at RSN recently there, mate, that I don't think Nadal can win it a couple of weeks ago. Now, he probably can, but I definitely think the pecking order is either Djokovic, Alcaraz, and then Nadal. I think, obviously, Rafa won the Australian Open earlier this year, but he did lose to Djokovic at the French Open last year. And I think even if he was fully fit, I think he'd be really up against it against the Joker and Alcaraz at this stage. But obviously, Rafa, you can't write him off, but I'd be leaning towards Alcaraz or Djokovic for sure. Probably slightly towards the Joker, mate. I think he's warm into the task, but you certainly would not be surprised whatsoever if Alcaraz got that breakthrough Grand Slam this early in his career. He's the young Nadal for a reason and looks set for many of slams throughout his career. But yeah, I just lean towards the Joker, but I think it'll be the Joker or Alcaraz there, mate. But what about the women's? And as we alluded to, at the top, mate, Swiatek, what a wondrous run. We spoke recently, didn't we, on the tennis podcast, Dash, about who takes that mantle from Ash Barty. I think we both said Swiatek, and she's certainly backed us up, mate, with 28 consecutive match wins since then and 5 WTA tournament victories to boot.
Yeah, exactly. We wanted someone to sort of, in Ash had broken free as the best player in the world towards the back end of last year and into the early part of this year. And it was a case of, is the field even behind her, or can someone push up in her absence? And Swiatek has certainly done that. She's shown she can play on all surfaces. Clearly, clay has been her best. She won her major on that as a teenager a couple of years ago, 28 wins in a row. She's also bageled, I think, Sakari, Andreescu and Osaka over that period as well. So her ability to dominate against players of all levels has been outstanding. So she's clearly the one. In terms of others that can win it, obviously Jabeur's been in nice touch. You look at Krejcikova, who won the thing last year, maybe someone like Badosa, who handles those conditions pretty well. But there wouldn't be a stack beyond that.
No, you're right. Yes, Swiatek, the $2 favourite at tab.com.au. I'd be pretty surprised she didn't win it. She looks a real standout. Halep at $8, as you said. Badosa is at 13s. You mentioned a few others there, right in the next line. Krejcikova, Jabeur at 15s, as is Sakari, and Osaka at 15s there as well. But yeah, it looks Swiatek's to lose by a long way. That's right, exactly. And I think some would argue too, and it's disappointing, obviously, that Barty isn't there. But even with Barty there, Swiatek would be right in the reckoning.
And that would be tremendous if Ash was there and he had those two players. That would be, you know, a dream if they could meet in a final, for example, as two players that have won the tournament before. So I guess that's one of the shames of Ash's retirement, is that, you know, we could have set up a rivalry with somebody like that. And Swiatek, obviously very likable, as is Halep, who you mentioned there as well. So I think they'd be popular winners on the top line. Although Halep, great player, obviously, and she's won that tournament before. Changed her coach. I think she's got Mouratoglou, I think, at the moment. But yeah, whether she can get that all together and challenge again remains to be seen.
Good on you, Dash. Look forward to catching all the action on Channel 9. Of course, chatting you ad nauseum here on the Tennis Podcast. We'll chat after the draw before it all gets underway on Sunday night, the French Open at Roland Garros for 2022. Thanks again, mate, and we'll catch you at the Barra Bass or, of course, Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East very soon.
No worries, mate.
Introducing the Wheels Car of the Year, the fully electric Kia EV6. Leading the charge with over 500 kilometres of driving range, newfound levels of technology, performance, build quality, refinement, and luxury. The judges were unanimous. The Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year. To find out more, visit kia.com.au.
Kia, movement that inspires.
The all-new rsn.net.au. Check it out today.
Yes, you'll catch the tennis podcast there on rsn.net.au every few days throughout the French Open. Myself, Scott Cooney, and Dashing Darren Park, and Channel 9's very own, RSN's very own, Mark Stevens will join us throughout as well, and Isabella Lindbruggen from Fox Sports, the one and only too. So stay tuned. Huge couple of weeks coming up at Roland Garros.
Dan Malecki here. I hope you can join me every Saturday morning with Simone Fisher and Matt Stewart for Cracking the Code, starting from 6 a.m.